We would like to welcome you into the services of Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church with Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:45, Sunday night at 6, and Wednesday at 7. We're located just 9 miles out the Kingsport Highway and would love for you to join us. Now, we would like to welcome you into the services of Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus.
Second Timothy chapter 1 verse 5. The Apostle Paul writing to young Timothy. He says, when I call to remembrance the unfinished, and that word unfinished means sincere. When I call to remembrance the sincere faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is thee also. Wherefore I put in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Now verse 7 is what I want to preach on. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker or a sharer of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, I know that I'm sure in my ministry I've used these verses many, many times. But as we were studying this week and trying to prepare ourselves for something for tonight, we came across these, especially verse 7 there, and began to study anew and afresh on that. And this is what I feel like the Lord would want us to preach on tonight. And if I would take a text tonight, the text would be the spirit of the overcomer. The spirit of the overcomer. Now, I want us to see here, and you know, this is what breaks my heart as a pastor, because I believe tonight, not because I'm the one that's doing the delivering, not because of anything like that, but I just believe that this is a message here that every Christian needs to hear. I believe this is something that every Christian needs to hear, not only to become an overcomer, but I believe that every Christian needs to hear this because it comes from the Word of God. And every message that comes from the Word of God is profitable. Is that not right? In other words, there's value to it. There's help in it for you. There's something that you can use. So what kind of a message do we hear from this world? You all listen to the news. You hear of all the violence. You hear of all the things that are happening, how that murder and all these things are going on in our streets and families, family members killing one another and all of those kind of things. And we, as William just repeated there a while ago, we hear about two airplanes flies in to the Twin Towers. We hear about the war in Afghanistan. We hear about all the unrest over in the Middle East. We hear about all the stuff that are going on with ISIS. We hear about how that Christians are captured and their heads are severed from their bodies. So the message that we hear from the world is not very good. So when we hear these things here that I just got through repeating, most Christians, we begin to make resolutions. When we hear how evil the things is out there, sometimes Christians will say something like, well, I better pray more. I better get back to God's house and be more faithful in the house of God. I need to humble myself down before tragedy strikes again. I need God's help in my life. And you all know, and we know the greatest attendance in church was right after the 9/11 happened, and so the spirit that God would have us to pursue us is not the spirit, he says, of fear, but of a sound, but of love and of a sound mind. God does not want us as Christians to pursue the spirit of fear, but he said he wants us to have a spirit of love and of a sound mind. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote this letter here through the power of the Holy Spirit to a young preacher. A young preacher named Timothy, who no doubt was saved under the preaching of the Apostle Paul. And he had trained of the Apostle Paul. Paul had taught him a lot about pastoring, about ministering. And so Timothy here, reason that Paul wrote this, Timothy probably could have possessed a fearful attitude. In other words, about all responsibility that had been given to him. Given to him responsibility to pastor when he was a young man, no doubt it filled Timothy's heart with fear as he thought about all that. But Paul is telling him, he said, a spirit of fear is not how God wants you to approach this. God don't want you to approach this huge responsibility that you have as a pastor. He don't want you to approach this with fear. Now, Paul knew as a leader that Timothy would eventually face fear. He knew that he would face opposition. He knew that he would even face threats and various other difficulty. So for Timothy to ignore a crisis was to forfeit his leadership. In other words, he knew that he couldn't just say, just ignore it and maybe to go away. No, Paul knew that he had to face that head on. And so he's saying, God hasn't given you that fearful spirit, but the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. If you have a spirit of fear, God didn't give that to you. And so Paul challenged Timothy here to have the spirit of an overcomer, not to go into the future with fear, but to go into the future with trust over the things that God had given him, an abiding trust in God, he's saying, himself. And so I want to challenge us tonight, as Christians here, I want to challenge us to possess the spirit of an overcomer. Yes, there will be things come our way unexpectedly. Things are going to happen that you were not expecting. There's going to be tragedies that are going to happen in your life. I wish that wasn't true. But I think we've all lived long enough to know that that if you haven't already experienced a tragedy, that it's a possibility that you could face one. But God has not given us the spirit of fear. Now, I'll show you from the Bible what is the spirit of an overcomer. Not only will I show you from the Word of God what the spirit of an overcomer is, but I'll also show you how you'll know when you possess the strength and the attributes of an overcomer. And I think this is, that's why I said I believe every Christian needs to hear this. I believe it'll be helpful. I believe it'll be beneficial. And the first thing I want you to see in verse 7, I want you to see the spirit of power. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. Now that word power as used here in this scripture, is not the power of humanism that says you can just do anything that you want to do. It's not the power of the human spirit. It's not the kind of power of positive thinking that people talks about where they say that many of the world psychologists are writing about and talking about this positive thinking. It's not talking about looking at yourself in the mirror and saying to yourself, you can accomplish any goal that you want to just because of who you are. Now, that's not what it is. The positive spirit, the mentality here in a humanistic approach, and that is not the power, but that's failure. And that's not what God is talking about here. The power in verse 7 is speaking about the power of the Holy Spirit the endued power that comes into your life through Jesus Christ. That is the power that he's talking about. Every one of us as Christians here tonight, we have the power of the Holy Spirit living within us. And this is the power that the Apostle Paul is talking about. Now, we can muster up a certain amount of power in our own strength. We understand that. We can muster up enough to do a few little things, a physical thing. But this power right here is far greater, the power that every Christian needs. Now, the Holy Spirit resides in the spirit and the heart of every born-again Christian. Is that not right? In other words, you don't have to wait for the second blessing. Once you're saved, every Christian possesses the Holy Spirit. Now, sometimes it's said to children, and we say this, and we even say it to adults, if you know that you're a sinner and you want Jesus to come into your heart, then pray that he will come into your heart. Have you ever said that to somebody? I'm sure you have. I'm sure that you said that to your children. So we know that Jesus does not physically enter into a person's heart, but his spirit indwells a person's life. Now listen, he's born again by the Spirit of God. That's how we're born again. Now the Bible said in John 3:6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. When someone accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, he's born again, not of his own power, not by positive thinking, but not because he's worked through a problem, but because he is born again by the Spirit of God. That's how you get saved. That's how that all of us sitting here tonight that are saved, that's how we were born again. God's Spirit regenerates and renews and sanctifies. Look what Romans 8:8-9 says. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now let me say this. What he's saying there is that this flesh absolutely cannot do anything to please God. There's nothing that the flesh could ever do. I don't care what that you do. There is nothing that the flesh can do that would please God enough for him to attain salvation. It's been born of the Spirit. And so if you do not possess the Spirit, you do not belong to God. That's simple. He that has the Spirit, he's saved. If you don't have the Spirit, then you're not saved. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And so here, and I want us to understand here, and possessing the Holy Spirit is virtually intertwined with being saved. And so the question, and I know we all are saved here tonight, but just for the fact, the question everybody needs to ask is their self is this. Does the Spirit of God dwell in me? See, I can't answer that for you. You can't answer that for me. You got to answer that for yourself. Do I know that the Holy Spirit dwells in me? Do I understand that? Does he? The Spirit of God strengthens and provides power. Now, this is the power that he's talking about. So there's nobody has an advantage over the other. Because what he says is, if you're saved, we all have the same powerful Spirit dwelling within us. And it's the Spirit of God that strengthens us and provides power. And this power, this spiritual power, comes from the Spirit of God. Now, the Spirit of power imparts grace and strength. Now, get this here now. You need to listen. Now, the Spirit of power imparts grace and strength to who? To the, not just a Christian, but to the yielded Christian. Now, this power is made available when one is saved, but that power is made more powerful to the one who is yielded to the Lord and is seeking to be filled by the Spirit. Luke 24:49 says, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father," Jesus speaking, "upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." The Lord was saying he was about to depart. He was about to leave them. He was about to go back to heaven. He had been with them for 3.5 years, and now he was leaving them. And he wanted his disciples to wait in Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high. Now the endowment came on the day of Pentecost. You all know that. That's when this happened, that Jesus is telling his disciples here in Acts chapter 2. When the Spirit of God empowered them, and they became a great witnessing church for the glory of God. Now many Christians today, now listen. I said this is why I feel like so many every Christian needs to hear this. Many Christians today are powerless. Why is it that so many Christians, I'm not saying they're not Christians, why is it that there is so many Christians today that are powerless? Because they are quenching the Spirit. That's why there is so many powerless Christians. It's because they're quenching the Spirit. Our challenge comes from 1 Thessalonians 5:19, where it says, "Quench not the Spirit." Now the Holy Spirit, now all you've got to learn, to understand this. The Holy Spirit is a person, a member of the Godhead Trinity. The Holy Spirit is not a hit, as some people refers to, or some song says. The Holy Spirit is a person. And therefore, by being a person, that means that he's capable of being quenched. And so here, as we look at this, and you think about what he's saying, he's a person of the Godhead Trinity, and he's very easily to be quenched. Just as you may quench your wife with a sharp word. You ever done that, fellas? You ever had say a sharp word and bore... their spirit changes? And maybe a friend, you may have quenched a friend by having an indifferent spirit. Or maybe you quenched a friend by having some kind of a critical spirit. So the Holy Spirit can be quenched when we sin and when we ignore him. That's when the Holy Spirit is quenched. When you sin and when you ignore him. Now listen. I said, why are they so many powerless Christians? I said, there's so many powerless Christians because they quench the Spirit. And I said, the way that you quench the Spirit is either by having sin in your life, by sinning, or by ignoring him. What is ignoring him when he's leading you? When he's speaking to your heart and you just let on like that, you know, that there's nothing. You just ignore when he's trying to lead you, direct you, speaking to your heart through the word or through whatever it is. So when the Holy Spirit is quenched, we cannot have power because we have quenched the power giver. When the Holy Spirit is quenched, you cannot have power because you have quenched the power source. So you're not going to have it. You can say whatever you want to say. You can walk around with your chest stuck out and think you're the best little Christian to ever walk the face of the earth. But if you are ignoring the Holy Spirit, and if you have sin in your life, you do not have power. You're powerless. Listen, many Christians are living without that special endowment of grace and strength. If there's a sin in your life tonight, if there's hatred in your heart tonight, right, then you need to confess it. Yeah. You need to confess it today. You don't need to wait till tomorrow. You don't even need to wait till this preacher gets done. You need to just do it right now. Yeah. You don't need to enter another day as a powerless Christian. And if you got hatred or those things, that's what you are. You're a powerless Christian. And so, somebody said, a writer once said, we're constantly, as a church, we're constantly on the the stretch of to devise some kind of new methods, to come up with some kind of new plans and come up with a new organization to advance the church and grow the church and all those kind of things. And this trend in the day in which that we live has a tendency to lose sight of man. In other words, what I'm saying is this trend of trying to come up with an organization, a plan, or a promotion or something like that to grow the church, then they look at all those things, and what they do is they ignore man. And when I say man, I mean man, woman, boy, or girl. Same person. And so are they sink the man in the plan of organization. But God's plan is to make much of man. God's plan is to make much of him and the more of him than anything else. What are you saying? I'm saying that God's plan is to build the church and promote the church and those kind of things and see things happen in the church is through man, through his people, through man, woman, boy, girl, whoever, whatever that they're saved. That is his plan. And men are God's method. The church is looking for better methods, but you know what? God is looking for better men. That's what God is looking for. He's not looking for better methods. He's looking for better men. In other words, so what the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations and all these kind of things, but men who the Holy Spirit of God can use, men of prayer, and men that are mighty in prayer. That's what we need today. We need men of God. So the Holy Spirit does not flow through methods, but the Holy Spirit flows through men or through people. So where's our power? Our power is in the person of the Holy Spirit. And so it don't flow through machinery. It don't flow through these organizations, these promotional ideals and all those kind of things. But if you get a man of prayer or a woman of prayer that allow the Holy Spirit to work through them and flow through them, then it's amazing what God can do. And that's what he's looking for. He's looking for better men. The Holy Spirit is looking for us. So power comes not on churches or machinery, but on men and women who are yielded to the Holy Spirit. Some think Christianity is all about fear. We know that preachers preach fear. Many carnal Christians. You turn on your television sometime and watch some of the comedians and all of these liberal and all these kind of people. They make fun and they've made such statements as, "I do not." But God says right here, "I do not give you the spirit of fear." You're not to be motivated by the fear of the church. You're not to be motivated by the fear of man, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. He gives the Spirit a power to the saved who are walking in the Spirit according to the direction of the Holy Spirit. Now listen here. One of the common threads of our human fiber is that every one of us has a burden of some type. If I go around the room here tonight, and if you would be honest with me, we all, even tonight, every one of us would have some kind of a burden. It's a fiber that runs through all humanity. And so what I'm saying is it may be a family burden. It may be a child or a grandchild that's gone astray. It may be a job burden. It may be that you've lost your work. It may be health problems, a health burden. It may be people burdens. And so on and so on. But God wants to give us power to overcome every burden. Did you hear me tonight? If you have a burden of health problems, if you have a burden of financial problems, job problems, if you have a burden of family problems, you know God wants to give you the power to overcome those burdens. I was with Pam today and she called her friend that is dying of cancer, her friend of 40-some years, best friend she's ever had, like a sister. And Pam says, talked to her just for a moment, and said, she is so weak, she can't even talk. I don't even know whether she knew it was me or not. But she said, you know what? Her church came over and had church with her today. And I'm saying that you may have a loved one that is withering away with some kind of dreaded disease, and your heart's broken. You're carrying a heavy burden tonight. But I want you to know that God can give you the power to overcome every burden. He doesn't want you to have the spirit of fear about people, about problems, but to have power from the Spirit. God don't want you to have a spirit of fear that you fear people and you fear problems and you fear all those kind of things. Then God gives us the spirit of power for witnessing. We have many, many timid Christians. When a discussion toward salvation and religion comes up, they're afraid to say anything. But that's not the way that it should be. The Apostle Paul said that the message came forth with power. Look in 1 Thessalonians 1:5. For the gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men you were among you for your sakes. God wants us tonight to become overcomers. God wants you to be an overcomer. God wants this preacher to be an overcomer tonight. He wants us to have the power that comes from the Spirit of God. The power that will help us in our witnessing, that we'll be able to walk up and we'll be able to talk to someone about Jesus. He wants us to have that kind of power. And that kind of power is available to us. It comes to us through the being yielded to the Holy Spirit, that you can talk to people that you thought you could never talk to about your salvation, about their salvation. He wants you to have power to witness. He wants you to have that. The power will also help us when we're persecuted and we're having trials. Galatians 1:10-11. Walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. God wants to strengthen us with His power.
We would like to thank you for listening to the services of Brother Oscar McCamus. For more information about our church, please like us on Facebook at Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church or visit our website at uniontemplefwb.org.